Well, thank you all for joining us in worship. We don't like to just perform. We like to have people join in, and you guys have done a wonderful job of joining in. How many of you could feel the Lord's presence here today? It's good. It's good. You know, when I look out at the audience today, I see so many different people, and I have no idea where you all started. Some of you started in homes that were perfect. Some of you started in homes that were had alcoholic parents. Some of you started in places. Everyone came from a different place. And, you know, it's interesting. We're all here today, but coming from so many different places and all going to different places. And I came from a home that looked really good on the outside, but I was abused when I was about 9 years old, and I got into some addiction. And today I'm going to tell you the story of how God set me free from addiction. And I've actually written a book about it. It's called Journey to Freedom. And it's only 100 pages long so that men can read it. Now, some guys say, hey, man, I don't read at all. Well, you know what? We have it as an audio book as well. So, I mean, you have it any way you want. You can even get it as an e-book as well. If you like the message today after you hear it, you think, oh, man, I wish, you know, my sister, my brother, my dad, my mom, whoever had heard it. We have it on DVD or CD as well. And I have another message that I've preached many different places. Because I was abused, I had to forgive the person that abused me. And sometimes that's pretty hard to do, because when you forgive someone, some people feel like it's like you're saying it's okay. And it's not really okay, but you can forgive. Does that make sense? It's like if I slap you across the face and you go, that's not good, and then I say, hey, would you forgive me? You could say, I forgive you, but it's not okay. Do you understand what I mean? And that's what a lot of us, we have to wrap our minds around that truth, that it's not okay, but I can forgive you. So that's a great message as well. If you liked our music today, we have a couple of music CDs that have worship on them. This one here, the purple one, and then there's a white one that's called Overwhelmed. My daughter and son made a great CD. Also, if you like to have devotions, some of you just sit there and you'll pray for a while in the morning. We have 45 minutes of piano music on two different CDs. One's called Still and one's called Amazed. Just grab the blue and white CDs. Those are the ones. All the CDs on the table are $15 for one or three for $35. We do take Visa and MasterCard, checks and cash. We do not take small children because we already have a lot of those. I just want to show you the pictures of the family members, not with us. My wife and I have six kids. That's what happens when you have no television. Some of you will get that tomorrow. This is our oldest daughter, Deanna, and these are her two children, Aaron and Brielle. They are, I think, 8 and 5 now, or 7 and 4. There you go. Next slide. This is our daughter, Caitlin, and her husband, Ryan. They're the kids' pastors at a large church in Concord, North Carolina, and they've given us these two wonderful little guys, the girl and guy. This is Margot. She's 10 days old, and that's Aaron. He's, I think he's 2 and a half now, so lots of fun in that house. Next slide. This is our son, Garrett, who just got married about 2 months ago to Angie, and he's a music producer and a recording teacher. Next slide. This is our three youngest children. This is Evan on the left, Kirsten on the right, and in the middle, who was also on the keyboard this morning, was Elise. She's 12 years old. And then this here is the most beautiful woman on the planet. That's my wife, Kathy. And Kathy and I have been married for 34 years. So it's if you've been married less than that, we can give you advice. If you've been married longer than that, we'll take advice from you. On your way out this morning, you'll see the table there. We have a newsletter. If you like paper and you like to read it, you can grab one of those. If you'd like to be on our newsletter mailing list, you can sign up for that. Also, we have an e-newsletter that you can sign up for on our website. How many of you pray? All right, that's good. Most of you probably don't pray that much, but I'm just messing with you. If you want to pray for our family, we would really appreciate it. We have magnets on our table. If you'd grab one of those, they're free. Just the picture of myself is probably worth a lot. But seriously, if you pray for us, God has taken care of us. We've been on the road, my wife and I, for 34 years. 20, 20 years, we traveled with her parents. How many of you have ever traveled with your in-laws for 20 years? You know, I found out why Moses was the most humble man that ever lived, because he lived with his mother-in-law for 40 years. So I lived with mine for 20. But anyway, if you grab a magnet and would pray for our family, what God is doing through us is amazing. But what the enemy is doing against us is also quite ridiculous sometimes. How many of you have ever felt like when you're doing something for the Lord, all hell breaks loose? Well, we've had a great run for years and years and years, but in the last year, we have had hell break loose against our family. Our oldest daughter, you saw there, you didn't see her husband, did you? He decided he didn't want to be married to her anymore. So that's one thing. And then on it goes. And it's like when the enemy starts knocking you down, then so if you'll pray for us, that'd be awesome. You can pray for some of our other kids as well. And I think that's all I had to say about that. All right. Is there anything? We're ready to go to the message now, right? Everything's good with you? All right. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the word. Am I still on here, or is this going dead? Am I good? One, two. I don't hear myself very much, but as long as you can hear me. Can you hear me at the back, Jim? All right. That's good. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us a beautiful place to meet together. Thank you, Lord, that your word is truth, and that when we know the truth can make us free. So, Lord, let your truth come through my mouth and into the hearts and the minds of these people in this room, that each person would leave this place more free than they've ever been in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, how do I look today? I just want to talk to this thing's giving me a bit of trouble. I want to talk to the girls today that are under the age of 25, okay? How many of you are under the age of 25? Yeah, there's some of you don't know how to count anymore, and that's okay. But you know the guy you really like? He's so handsome. He's so good looking. He is so hot. In 30 years, this is what he's going to look like. Now, I don't think that's particularly funny, but I see all of you do. You know, I enjoy being a man. I get up in the morning, I go like this, my hair is done. I slap my face a couple times, my makeup's done, I'm out the door like 2 minutes. Now, being a lady is quite a bit more difficult. I've heard of some ladies, they get up in the morning, they look at themselves in the mirror, they scream, and then they begin. Foundation, mortar, cement. You call it makeup, right? And make themselves out to be something incredibly different than what they started with. And ladies, I have no idea what you started with today, but you look wonderful now. And you know, I think it's kind of funny that we make ourselves out to be something that we're not. Now, I got to confess, I do the same thing. Every morning I go like this. What is that? Deodorant. Why do I put that on? Because I want you to think I smell better than I do, right? And I don't think God has an issue with us taking care of ourselves, taking a shower, making ourselves look good. I don't think God minds that. But I think we spend quite a bit of time on the outside. I wonder how much time we spend on the inside. You know, the Bible says man looks at the outward appearance. I look at you, I judge you by what you wear, how your hair looks, how you take care of yourself, right? Every one of us does that to some degree. We look at a person and we judge them. Oh, that guy's wearing a really good suit. He must be rich. That guy's wearing, you know, rags. He's probably poor, right? Now, that's the way we think. But the Bible says God looks at the heart, the inside. So when you look at the outside, I mean, everything looks fine, right? I got beautiful kids, beautiful wife, beautiful bus in the back parking lot. But if you were to look on the inside of me, you'd say, whoa, this guy's got some issues. You know, relax. So you couldn't see that I had a chain on under my jacket. But I knew I had it on it. I could feel the weight of it, right? And even though all of you look so nice, if I could pull back your skin and I could look at your spirit man, I wonder what jewelry your spirit man is wearing. See, what is your spirit man? The spirit man is who you really are underneath it all, right? When everything else is gone and you're just there alone with you, that's really who you are. What does that look like? This chain is kind of like the addictions, the strongholds, the bondages, the habits, the hang-ups that we have in our lives that nobody knows about. I don't know what you struggle with. You could struggle with anger. You could struggle with bitterness. You could struggle with alcohol or drugs or all kinds of things, but nobody could necessarily know it just by looking at you, right? And you couldn't see, just like this chain, you couldn't see I had this heaviness on me. You couldn't see it. And, you know, when I was about 9 years old, I was abused. And as a result of that, I got into this addiction. And this addiction is more symbolic of the chain. And when I was about 16 years old, I had read this book that said every time you do something wrong, you carry the weight of it. And it's the things you do wrong is called sin. And I was carrying this really heavy backpack of sin on my back. And I went to this one meeting in Brantford, Ontario, and this guy was preaching, Jack West, and he said, if you want to get rid of the backpack of sin you got on your back, you got to turn away from the way you're going and go a different way. And that's called repenting. And I remember when I was 16 years old, I repented. I turned around, went a different way. I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ, and I felt the weight of my sin fall off my back. And that was like a great day. How many of you can remember a day you did something like that? Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sin away. And I was doing great for about 2 years. And then when I was about 18, I started struggling again with this addiction. And I thought, man, if I just get married, all my troubles will be over. And all the married men said, they didn't say a whole lot. I remember getting married and my wife was wonderful to me in every way, but she couldn't fix what was broken in my brain. And I remember getting married at 21, and then by the time we had two children, I was still struggling with this addiction. And I was pretty discouraged because the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, old things have passed away and all things have become new, and it didn't work for me. Have you ever looked around church and you sort of look at all the other people and you think, they got it figured out, but you don't? Have you ever thought that? Just nod at me. You don't have to put your hands up. But it's like, oh, that family there, they probably never argue. That couple there, they probably never argue. You know, that couple there, their kids are so great. And, you know, you ever have that, right? You're just looking around. It's all a bunch of baloney, but it's what we think, right? But I thought I was the only person who was a Christian who was bound. Like, I felt like such a hypocrite. I would fail on a regular basis. And so I thought, man, if I want to get free, I've got to do something different. So I tried fasting. Have you ever tried fasting? I hate it. I mean, you know, I remember fasting once for 16 days, just water, but I couldn't break the power of sin in my life. I tried memorizing scripture because I knew Jesus overcame the enemy. He always said, it is written, and then he would quote the scripture, and it seemed like that drove away the enemy. But I couldn't seem to win with that either. I tried reading all kinds of good books, and one book that I read helped me understand where freedom comes from. Can I tell you the story that I read? Can you give me the next slide? Many years ago in the United States, slavery was the law. All right, I don't know if you're familiar with American history, but every black person in the United States up until 1860 was a slave because of the law. Abraham Lincoln, a president, came on the scene and he said, all the slaves are to go free. This was called the Emancipation Proclamation. By him signing a piece of paper, the legal standing of all the black slaves changed, and they became legally free. Now, one slave went to his master, and he said, hey, listen, am I now free? And his master said, no, it doesn't apply to you. You keep working. So rather than believing Lincoln, he believed his old master, and he continued working on the plantation for 4 more years. After 4 years, he looked around, he saw all the other slaves were gone, and he recognized, my old master is a liar. And he walked away from the plantation, 4 years too late. Now, when I read that story, I was just blown away. I thought, why didn't he just believe the truth right away? And then it was like God said to me, why don't you believe the truth? And I was like, but what is the truth? And it's like, Jesus is my emancipator. Satan is my old master. And he lies to me and says, you can never be free, Lloyd. And I believe him rather than Jesus. And I continue to struggle with sin. So as I was reading that, I was like, okay, where is this in the Bible? This has got to be in the Bible for me to believe it, right? So then it took me to Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 19. And if you want to, I don't know if you, would you guys mind standing up as we read the Bible? Is that all right? I know some of you guys have been standing up. If you're old and tired, you don't have to. But if you're young and spry, come on up and get up and let's read. Well, then should we keep sinning so God can keep showing us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Of course not. Should we keep sinning when we don't have to? For sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians. We were baptized to become a part of Jesus Christ. Through his death, the power of your sinful nature was shattered. Your old sin-loving nature was buried with him by baptism when he died, and when God the Father, with glorious power, brought him back to life again, you were given his wonderful new life to enjoy. Let's read verse 5 together. For you have become a part of him, and so you died with him, so to speak, when he died, and now you share his new life and shall rise as he did. Now I want all of you to put your hands up like this. All right? Now give me all your money. No, I'm kidding. Okay, keep your hands up. Okay, so this is you, and this is God. Okay, now the Bible says you are in him, and he is in you. So I want you to put your hands in each other. So which hand is in which hand? Both hands are in each other, right? So that's really what's happened. We are in Christ, Christ is in us, and we are one. Now that's an incredible thing we need to identify with. So whatever Christ did, we did. Does that make sense? So just move your arms back and forth. So what Jesus did on the cross, he did for us, right? So we're in him. So what happened on the cross? Well, our old evil desires were nailed to the cross with him. That part of our body that loves to sin was crushed and fatally wounded. So your sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control, no longer needs to be a slave to sin. Now, what does that look like? I want to just show you this, okay? Every one of us, before we know Christ, is a slave to sin. We're locked into sin. We're subject to sin. But when we get to know Jesus, he takes the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He puts them in the lock that chains us to sin. And in the moment we believe, we become legally, spiritually free from the controlling power of sin. All right? Now, when you look at me right now, do I look like I'm free or do I look like I'm bound? How many people say Lloyd's now free? Put your hands up. Okay, we got about 30%. How many people say Lloyd's still bound? Put your hands up. And how many people say I wouldn't vote no matter what you did? And that's why we have some of the politicians we have, but that's a different sermon. Okay. So the reality is, am I legally free? Is the chain unlocked? Yeah. Am I experiencing freedom? No. Would you like to know how I actually got the chain off? All right, buy my book. Let's pray. Okay, let's continue with the scripture. For when you're dead to sin, you're freed from all its allure and power over you. Verse 8, since your old sin-loving nature died with Christ, we now know that you'll share his new life. Christ rose from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. He died once for all to end sin's power, but now he lives forever in unbroken fellowship with God. Let's read verse 11 together. So look upon your old sin nature as dead and unresponsive to sin, and instead be alive to God, alert to him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't let sin control your puny body any longer. Don't give in to its sinful desires. Verse 13, don't let any part of your body become tools of wickedness to be used for sinning, but give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, for you're back from death. You want to be tools in the hands of God to be used for his good purposes. Sin need never again be your master, for now you're no longer tied to the law where sin enslaves you, but you're free under God's favor and mercy. Now, does this mean we can go ahead and sin and not worry about it? For salvation does not depend on keeping the law, but on receiving God's grace? Of course not. Don't you realize you can choose your own master? You can choose sin with death or else obedience with acquittal. The one to whom you offer yourself, he will take you and be your master, and you will be his slave. Thank God that though you once were slaves to sin, now you've obeyed with all your heart the teaching to which God has committed you, and now you are free from your old master's sin, and you've become slaves to your new master, righteousness. I speak this way using the illustration of slaves and masters because it's easy to understand. Just as you used to be slaves to all kinds of sin, So now you must let yourselves be slaves to all that is right and holy. You can be seated. If you want to remember my message, just write down the word free. F-R-E-E. All right? Free. If you want to be free, what do you have to do? Well, I had to do this. Next slide. I had to have faith in what God says. I had to believe God's word. John 8, verse 32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." How many of you have ever heard that scripture before somewhere, right? How many of you know somebody who knows truth but isn't free? I know people like that. Okay, so how is it possible to know truth and not be free? Well, let's go to the next slide. In the Greek, there's two words for knowing. There's gnosis and epinosis. Gnosis is an intellectual knowledge. Epinosis is an experiential knowledge. So people say, well, what's the difference? Okay, I have a gnosis of childbirth, right? My wife goes to the hospital. She makes a bunch of racket. We have a child. I've done it 6 times. It doesn't even hurt. How many of you men have children? Does it hurt? Not us, right? I mean, apparently it's like a painful, like a pinch or something, but no throwing things. Now, ladies, how many of you had children? Does it hurt? There's no hesitation. When I look at her, she's like, there is no question. It is painful. Even though it may have been some years ago, you can still remember that was not a real pleasant experience, right? See, I know, but you know, right? And there's a difference between knowing and knowing. Now, if you wanted to know about childbirth, would it be better to ask a lady or a man? A lady, right? Because even though they both know, someone knows differently. Now, think about this. I believe most Christians know truth like men know childbirth. Think about that. They know it. They know, hey, you know what? I should be free. I shouldn't struggle with this or this or this, right? But I do. So I know it, but I don't really know it. Would you like to know truth today? Would it be nice to really know truth, to have it kind of go right through you? Okay, I want you to just think about something that you wish you could stop doing. Maybe you've said, oh, I wish to God I could stop, and you fill in the blanks. Maybe it's losing my temper. Maybe it's getting drunk. Maybe it's doing drugs. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's another horrible habit that you have that maybe no one knows you have, but it's like you know it's wrong and you know you shouldn't be there, but somehow it's still there. All right? Are you with me? Just nod your heads if you're with me. Okay. I want you to imagine that even last night you failed at that again. You said, I would never lose my temper again, and you lost it again, right? And you feel so defeated when you get up in the morning. You're just like, oh. And you hear this voice whisper to your mind, and it says, you're still my slave. You're never going to be free. Who do you think that is? It's not Jesus. It's the enemy. He wants you to believe that you're still his slave, and you're never going to be free from that. You know what you need to say to the enemy when he lies to you? I am free. Now, some of you are going, you're nuts. I'm not free. I'm what I act. I'm what I do. And I think, okay, if you want to think that way, let's just go back to the plantation for a second. Remember the slave? Did he look like a slave? Did he act like a slave? Did he eat like a slave? Did he drink like a slave? Did he wear slave clothes? Did he live in a slave house? But was he actually legally a slave? No, he wasn't. For 4 years, he was legally free, but still acting like a slave. Is it possible that everyone in this room has been legally free from sin for years and years and years, some of you, and you're still acting like a slave? Because you believe a lie. Because if the truth is going to make you free, a lie is going to keep you on the plantation. Right? So you don't need to sin anymore. I remember my mother-in-law said that to me one time, and I was like, are you out of your mind? I can't stop sinning. But the truth was, she was right. I don't have to sin anymore. Now you're going, well, how is that possible? Well, you need to tell yourself the truth and you need to convince yourself the truth. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you think like a slave, you will act like a slave your whole life. And Satan's very, very happy to have the whole church always believe they can never be free. So I'm going to be the devil for a second, and I'm going to lie to you, and I want you to speak the truth to me. The truth is, I am free. Can you say that? I am free. Works better if you move your lips. Let's try it again. I am free. Say it louder. I am free. So I'm going to lie to you. You tell me the truth. You're still my slave.
I am free.
You're never going to be free. It only works for people in ministry.
I am free.
Good. Now, I sometimes would be saying that to myself with tears running down my face because I felt so defeated, but I knew that's not who I was anymore. And I was beginning to believe what God said about me. And I did pretty good. I was about 30% free, but still failed a lot. And I remember one day I was watching television and I saw this world famous preacher. And he had a moral failure. They found him with a prostitute. And I was so discouraged. I was like, oh man, if that guy can't live a holy life, nobody can. I give up. I quit. I went to my wife and I said, honey, I give up. If this guy can't do it, nobody can. And my wife said to me, why don't you tell my parents that you're struggling? How many of you are not married? Okay, let me explain something to you real quick. When you marry someone, right, the person that you marry, their parents become what is called your in-laws. They hate you. Now, I know they try not to hate you, but the problem is you're corrupting their child because their child is beginning to think like you think, which is not the way their family thinks, which is the right way to think. I said to my wife, I would rather eat crushed glass than share my faults with your parents. But one day I got so fed up with failure that I went to them and I said, Norm and Joy, would you pray for me that God would give me a pure heart? And in that moment, I could feel this incredible weight come off me. And I began to be so free that I began to dance in church. Now, I'm white, and I'm Dutch, and it ain't pretty. And I remember people looking at me saying, man, it looks really bad when you dance. And I said, I'm not dancing for you. I'm dancing for him, because he made me free. And I was so free for about 6 months. Then one day, I got into an argument with my one of my in-laws. I won't tell you which one it was, but she was right. And I could feel this chain around my neck again. And I'm just declaring, I'm a free man. Nothing would work. And I apologized. And I could feel free again. And I said, okay, God, something happens spiritually when I do things in the natural realm. What's happening here? And God showed me two things. Next slide. Number one, James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. That's a radical humility. So if you're taking notes, write down R for radical humility. Now, how many of you have ever sinned? Okay, for those of you who didn't lift your hand, you just lied, so that was another one. All right. So what do you do when you sin? You go to God. You tell him, hey, I'm sorry, God, forgive me. And he forgives you, and then you continue on, right? You've all done that, right? Now, this here says, let's read it, confess your sins to each other, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confessing your sins to each other is a little bit different. See, when you tell Jesus, he keeps his mouth shut, right? But when you tell another person, it's possible they might tell someone else, right? Why would you take that risk? So that you may be healed. I think a lot of Christians get forgiven, but I don't think a lot of Christians get healed. And you see, the reason a lot of us sin is not because, you know, let's say you struggle with alcohol. You know someone who struggles with alcohol? All right? You think they woke up one day and said, you know what? I think I'm going to become an alcoholic. There's a great future in that. or I want to become a drug addict because I think that's just a great career. No, no, no. They've got pain and they medicate. Some people medicate with alcohol. Some people medicate with drugs. Some people medicate with sex. Some people medicate with work. Some people medicate with you name it. They're trying to stop the pain in their lives, and they use whatever method works. And alcohol and drugs, I guess they must work pretty well because an awful lot of people are using them. So that's why groups like AA and NA are so helpful, because what they do is they begin to talk about their stuff. Now, I'm not saying every one of those groups is so great Christian, but when you talk about your junk, healing comes. When I say to you, you know what, I struggle with this or when I struggle with that, you might say, you know what, when I was younger, I struggled with that as well, and here's what I did. And I'm like, oh man, I gained something from you. But if I just carry this around by myself all the time and keep it covered, God can't help me with that. You know, have you ever walked in the forest on a hot summer day and you pick up a piece of wood and you look on the bottom? What do you see? Little bugs and grubs, they're scurrying around, and you hold it up, and then about 2 minutes later you look at it again. Where are they? They're all gone. Why are they gone? They hate light. And that's what the junk in our life is like. It hates light. It doesn't want you to bring that to anyone and let them see it. But when you do, it runs away. And that's what happened. When I brought that stuff to my in-laws, it ran away. Now what else happens? Next slide. When you humble yourself, God gives you extravagant grace. It's hard to tell people where you struggle. How many of you like to tell your problems to other people? Just sign me up for that. No way. Who wants to do that? That takes humility, right? But when you humble yourself, God gives you help or grace. Now, I didn't really know what that looked like, so here's what God showed me, a picture. Next, there's going to be a video clip here. So this is me without my makeup on, okay? And God is trying to pour his grace, which is symbolized by the water, into my life. And no matter how much he pours out his grace on my life, it can't get into my life because what's in the way? Pride is in the way. I can fast in pride. I can pray in pride. I can memorize scripture in pride. I can read all kinds of good books in pride. But unless I get rid of that, his grace can't get into my life. So next video. One day I went to my in-laws. I said, would you pray for me that God would give me a pure heart? What did that take? Humility. Humility. When you humble yourself, when you rip the stinking pride off your life, and it is always wanting to climb back on your life again, and you throw that away, then the grace of God, which is always being poured out, like this water, it fills up your life, and you become literally immersed in the grace of God. Now, when you see that cup and you see God's grace, how many of you say, sign me up for that, man? I want to live and swim and be full of the grace of God. Well, listen, if you want lots of grace, remember this, get on your face. The lower you go, the more grace you get. Now, a lot of us are walking around with our nose so stuck up in the air that we almost drown when it rains. We're so arrogant. We're so proud, right? We need to walk in humility. Walk in humility all the time. Now, one older gentleman came to me and said, you know, walking in humility, it ain't easy. He said, my wife and I had words last week. I didn't get to use mine. I have to walk in humility with my wife, with my kids, with people who cut me off in traffic. They have no idea how important I am. How many of you have ever had someone cut you off in traffic? What do you want done to them? Life in prison, something, right? The reality is we need to walk humbly and not worry about getting to Walmart 5 minutes later or whatever it is, right? So I was about 90% free. I still failed once in a while. I said, okay, God, I want to just be completely pure in my heart. I don't want to fail once in a while. I want to be straight up. And so I said, what causes me to fail? And every time I retraced my steps, here's where I ended up. Now, some of you might not understand this picture, so I'll explain it to you. The second floor is where we get our entertainment from. It comes down a long, long pipe, and it ends up on our screen. How many of you have ever seen something really bad on your screen? Maybe your television screen, your computer screen, or your smartphone screen? How many of you have ever seen something really bad on there? You're just like, oh, that was garbage, right? Bible says, next slide, it's better for you to enter heaven without cable, satellite, internet, or various magazine subscriptions than to go to hell with them. Now you're going, I've never read that. Actually, it says in Mark chapter 9, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. So I guess if everyone here was good Christians, you would all look like Captain Hook. The reality is God's using some strong language called hyperbole, which he's asking us to do what? Next slide. Extract the poison from our lives. Philippians 2 verse 12. This is the last point. Extract the poison. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You've got to work it out. Okay? I can't tell you what you need to get rid of in your life because I don't know you. I don't know what you struggle with. All right? Like if you're struggling like I did, getting rid of my television was a huge part of me getting free because I would sit there and I would be doing really well and I would see something on TV that would pull me off track and I would fail and then I would feel so guilty and I'd say, oh God, I'm so sorry. And the Lord would really impress me by his spirit, get rid of your TV. But I didn't want to get rid of my TV because I like cops and robbers. I like the news. I like sports. And so I'd do all the stuff that was good for a while and then I'd watch something I shouldn't and then I'd fall off and then I'd get back and I just kept going back and forth and I'd be so sorry, but I never changed. And then one day, I said, I'm so sorry. And then it was like God said to me, you're so stupid. I tell you what you need to do, but you argue with me. And I think, perhaps, many of us in this room know what we need to do, but we argue with God. How many of you think you know more than God does? Like, I think he's way smarter than me. And when he gives me something like an idea of what I should do, I think it would be good for me to listen to him. Like, I've tried over and over and over again, okay, to go into the grocery store and walk by the Reese's peanut butter cups, okay? And if I go down that aisle, I don't know how it happens, but they end up in my cart. And then somehow they end up at my house. And then even though I have really nothing to do with it, they end up inside me. I really don't know how it happens. Do any of you have anything like that happen to you before? It's like, how does that even happen, right? I have to make sure that I don't go down that aisle in the grocery store. Now, that's just one little thing, right? And that's, you know, all of us can relate to chocolate, right? At least almost all of us, except some of you people who love vegetables. And I don't want to know who you are because I don't like you. My wife is like that. Is like, oh, how can you love vegetables? That's what's with you. So anyway, I've got to make sure I get rid of the garbage in my life. Now, a lot of us don't get rid of the garbage in our life because we love it. And I want you to recognize that as you keep on taking what you love that's hurting you, you're making yourself ill. And I was ill for a long time, but I've become completely well. I've been free now for about 28 years. And I thank God every day I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Next slide. Next slide. Are you bound? Can you read these words with me? Pride, lust, gossip, gambling, hatred, envy, bitterness, idols, overspending, overeating, drugs, alcohol, lying, pornography, fear, anger, work, entertainment, anxiety, depression, video games, only God, and you know for sure. Now, how many of you could look at that list and write your name under one of those words? Some of you are going, hallelujah, my word's not up there. I can't write everybody's word up there. But I do know that there are many, many people in this room that could use freedom. And the reason I came here today wasn't to condemn anyone or to look down at anyone, but to say, I was bound. And now I'm free. And if you're bound, you can be free. I promise you, anyone can be free because of what Jesus did in his grace. Can you bow your heads with me? And if you're watching online, I want you to just think about this for a moment. You know, I talked about how I was headed the wrong direction in life, but one day I turned around and I began to go a different way. And maybe you're going the wrong direction in life. Right now, you're saying, Lord, I need to turn around to go a different way. If that's you, I just want you to lift up your hand. Wherever you are right now, just lift up your hand and say, pray for me. I want to go a different way. I'm not going the right way. All right, there's one, there's two, there's three, there's four, there's five, there's six. Maybe you're watching online, but no one's there watching you lift your hand, but God sees your hands. I want you to pray with me. You don't have to pray out loud, but I want you to pray this prayer. God, your word says that if I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So God, I confess my sin to you. I am guilty. Would you forgive me? And then John 1 verse 12 says, whoever receives him, to them he gives power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. So right now, God, I invite you, Jesus, into my life by your Spirit to be the boss or the Lord of my life. I don't want to run the show anymore. I want you in charge. Thank you for coming in. Help me to know I'm your child, and then help me to tell somebody today that I've committed or I've recommitted following you. Now, you can keep your heads bowed, and I got one other question for you. You might say, Lloyd, I'm a Christian, at least I think I'm a Christian, but there's an area of my life where I am bound like you were. Could you pray for me that God would make me free like you've been free now for so many years? All over this room, how many people would say, I'm bound somewhere. Would you pray for me that God would make me free? Just lift up your hands all over this room. There's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Now, some of you didn't lift up your hand, and that's okay. But I want to just give you one more opportunity. So you might say, Lloyd, I would lift up my hand, but my hand feels like it weighs about 100 pounds. And the reason for that could be because there could be a lie sitting on your hand. And what you need to do is you need to shake off the lie and say, oh, I will be free. Would you pray for me? Anyone else hadn't lifted your hand before, but you know you're bound. You want to be free. All right. Praise God. You can all look up. In about 2 minutes, I'm going to pray for you. Just before we do that, this lady here is going to come, and her name's Julie, right? Yeah, I remember. And she's going to take a love offering for our family. Now, for us to travel, it costs a tremendous amount. But I don't want you to give because it costs a tremendous amount. I want you to give because you feel like what I've said today has value. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to bring this message to every single church in the world and to every pastor in the world, because a lot of pastors are bound and they can't preach freedom to their people. So if you want to sow into that and say, I want to help you guys do that, it's going to take a tremendous amount of money and it's going to take a tremendous amount of prayer. So I can use you on both sides. Pray for us and give to us. Thanks.
Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom.
Can I get you all to stand up? I'd like to invite every one of you who came and said, hey, I'd like to have prayer for freedom, or I want to turn around and go a different direction in life. I'd like you to come, all of you, and just stand at the front right here, right now. Can you all come? There's going to be like 20, 30 people. Just come. Put your toes right up close. Anyone who said, hey, I want to be free, you want to have prayer for freedom, come on up. There's lots and lots of you. Just wait. Come on up right now. Don't wait for everybody else. Just come. Just stand with your... Praise God. Just put your toes right against the step there, yeah. Just come on, come on. Lots and lots of people. You're awesome, guys. There's more people. Just come on up. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful. Praise God. Just come right up. For those of you who came forward today and you said, hey, I'm not going the right direction in life. Okay. And you want to go a different way. This is a track that talks about being saved. And if you want to grab one of those and just pass it on, that's great. Now, if you said, hey, I want to get free today. There's somewhere in my life I'm not free. Listen, I'm surprised that there's not almost everybody here at the front, because I said, you want to be free from pride. I mean, who doesn't struggle with pride? You know, so I mean, there's no shame in being at this altar at all. They're honest people, and I'm glad for that. But you want to be free, grab one of these and just pass it down, okay? That's another tract, all right? Just pass them down. So the free track, just make sure everybody gets one of those if you can. That's good. Let me just turn this down a little bit. All right. Now, for those of you who are in the audience and you're saying, hey, I'm free, but I care about one of these people at the front, I'd like a man to come and stand with every man here and a lady to come and stand with every lady here, just so they got someone who's got their hand on their back so they know I've got your back. So can you come and help me with that? All right. I see some people coming. Just come quick. And if you don't have a hand on your shoulder, you can put your hand on someone else's shoulder, but you can, yep, that's fine. Yep, that's fine. I could use a lady right here. Yep, that's great. Okay, I could use one man right here. Can I get maybe you to help me, or someone come and help me with this right here? That'd be great. All right, that's good. Okay, now here's what I'd like you to do, guys. I'm going to teach you one last thing, and then we're going to be done, all right? I want you to hold, if you all just look at me for 1 second, I want you to hold the reason that you came forward today in your hand, all right? So what's your first name? Peter. Peter, I'm just going to say you and I, we both struggle with a chocolate chip cookie addiction, all right? Now, I know that's probably not what you're here for, but hey, you know what? Okay, so I want you all to hold your version of your chocolate chip cookies in your hands and just hold them up like this. All right? All right. Now, I want you to say this. God, I repent for this. I'm sorry about this. Okay? Now, I want you to take those chocolate chip cookies and I want you to symbolically throw them on the ground and say, I renounce this. All right? Now, Peter, if you give up chocolate chip cookies right now, what do you think is going to happen this afternoon by 3 o'clock? Grandma's going to come by with a fresh plate of chocolate chip cookies, freshly baked. And she's going to hand them to you. And what are you going to say to Grandma? Get thee behind me. No, don't say that to your grandma. Right? But the enemy's going to wrap up the opportunity for you to fail again. You know, whatever it is. If it's you lost your temper or whatever, he's going to make it like very difficult for you not to have that happen again. So when the enemy comes and hands you the opportunity to do drugs, to do alcohol, to do pornography, to lose your temper, whatever it is, right? When he offers you that opportunity, you need to say this out loud, okay? Satan, I've repented. I have renounced. And I now have authority to rebuke you. In Jesus' name. So Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You see, you can't rebuke the enemy with your mouthful of chocolate chip cookies. Does that make sense? You see, like you've got to get the garbage gone, give it to God, and then you're ready to fight the enemy. If you got your mouth full of chocolate chip cookies and you're saying, devil, get lost, he's like, I'm a little confused here. You understand? Okay, so let's just stay where we were in the natural realm, right? You threw down chocolate chip cookies, Peter. What are you going to pick up instead? Rich, exactly. You are exactly right. Vegetables. We're going to pick up broccoli. We're going to pick up celery. We're going to pick up carrots. We're going to pick up things that they don't taste quite as good as chocolate chip cookies. Let's be honest. I mean, except for you vegetable lovers, chocolate chip cookies, they do taste pretty good, right? But the reality is they're making us ill. It's making us sick inside. And so we've got a heart condition. We can't run anymore. We can't do the things we're supposed to be doing because we're sick all the time, right? Now that's a spiritual sickness I'm talking about. And so we've got to throw down the garbage and we've got to pick up something that's good instead. All right, so I want you to think about, okay, Peter, you threw something down, right? I threw down my television because it was causing me to get sick. I picked up the Word of God. I picked up teaching that would make my soul healthy rather than watching things that would make my soul sick. Does that make sense? So I want you to think about that for a second, and then I want you to reach down and I want you to symbolically pick up your broccoli. All right? You know what I'm talking about? So go ahead and do that right now. What are you picking up? Oh, can you turn this on? My mic keeps dropping up. Number 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. So you've got your broccoli in your hand, right? Show me your broccoli. Hold it up. All right. Now I want you to say this. God, help me to remember my broccoli. Now I know you're all thinking, okay, now we're going to start eating healthy, right? But we're going to eat healthy for our soul, right? And help me to rejoice in what you've done in me. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, man, but when I see even one person, let alone 20 or 30, come forward and say, I'm throwing down my cookies and I'm picking up my broccoli, that makes me want to sing and shout and dance. It's so good. I mean, this is what I live for, people. I want to see people get free. And you know how much some of you feel like, oh, God, that it would actually be true? It is true. I've been free, guys, for a lot of years. Now, I had to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. That means I had to begin to think differently. And it sometimes took some time. And I did fall down sometimes, but I got back up. And there's a difference between stumbling and falling and laying down in the ditch. Do you know what I mean? All of us are going to trip in life. Don't stay down. Get up again and keep going. And if you find yourself in the ditch, you call someone and say, hey, get me out of here. That's what I am here for. I feel like I'm a tow truck to pull Christians out of the ditch. I want to get you on the road and I want you to learn how to drive better. All right? Let me pray for you. And then what I'd like you to do is find another person in the room and pray with them. If you can, share with them why you came forward today. Now, some of you are going, oh my gosh, I'm not doing that. You don't have to do that necessarily right now, but I encourage you, it's no better time. Do you want the grace of God to start really pouring into your life? You're going to talk about your stuff. And it's worth it because that's when the grace comes. Are you with me? All right. Let me pray.
Lord, thank you for these people taking courage to come forward and say, I'm not what I need to be yet, but I want to be different. And I'm believing you, Lord, to make me absolutely free, because I am what you say I am. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, I speak freedom over each one of these, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray blessing on them. Lord, I pray for these ladies. Some of them have brokenness inside. I pray that you'd heal them of that right now. I just speak life. Each one of these hearts, oh God. Lord, heal them on the inside. Never the same again. Lord, let their minds be changed. Father, all the lies that they believe, all let them be gone in Jesus' name. Lies be gone in Jesus' name. Lies be gone in Jesus' name. Let truth come. Let purity come. Let faithfulness come. Let integrity come in Jesus' name. Father, let your Spirit, oh God, just work in these hearts, oh God. Lord, freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, I just speak life. Lord, I pray you. Thank you. truth, and strength and power and integrity, faithfulness, Lord, to this life in Jesus' name. Lord, let this mind be renewed through Jesus Christ. Oh God, do an amazing work in this heart and heal, oh Lord, and deliver in Jesus' name. Father God, bless these ladies, Lord God, with freedom. Freedom in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray blessing on this life, on this mind, on this spirit. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you're going to continue to do in these lives. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray blessing on this church. May this church be the place where people can come and find freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Can you all find someone to just to pray with together for a moment and maybe even share with them a little bit? Just, Peter, you can talk with that man there or you can talk with me. But talk together and pray together, guys. Don't just walk away, but just pray together.